Okay, we started.
Okay.
So, hey everyone, welcome to Small Town Talk. This is Eric.
And I'm Jamie. And we have today, maybe you can introduce yourself.
I am Schubert Ho, and I am an Edmonds restaurateur. We own Bar Dojo, Shubidoo Catering, Salt and Iron, and soon to be the Downtown Edmonds Fishmonger.
And, so maybe do you want to touch in on what each of the restaurants are, or do you want to kind of go into background?
Yeah, sure. The Bar Dojo was our first brick and mortar, and that is an Asian fusion restaurant located right at Five Corners in that neighborhood. And Shubidoo Catering is our first business we started out with that focuses on full-service catering to anything from a wedding to holiday parties, corporate events. And Salt and Iron is our second brick and mortar that is located right on Main Street in downtown Edmonds. And it is our steak and oyster house. And we thought, why doesn't Edmonds have a steak or oyster house? So we combined the both of them.
That's actually really funny you say that, because I think especially up here, oysters are such a staple of our cuisine. And it is funny that you really can't get oysters very many places in Edmonds, or it's a seasonal thing that maybe they decide to put on the menu for a couple weeks. Or, and even a steakhouse, I mean, there's places that serve steak, but not exclusively focusing on that. So it's definitely been a great addition to Edmonds.
But now you can get oysters anytime you want.
Anytime you want.
Yeah.
And even more so in our next project, the Downtown Edmonds Fishmonger, which we hope we'll open the first quarter of next year, and we'll serve fresh seafood, retail, that is, if you were to go to a seafood market, that's basically what we'll be providing. Those,
that's awesome.
You know, shellfish, fresh fish, fin fish of all sorts, and oysters on the half served out to you through our Main Street window, even in the summer.
Farmers market. So you can have like a little window there and stuff, so you can...
Those two windows that are...
So excited.
A to-go pass-through window.
Exactly, yeah. So for those of you who don't know where the location is, it's right next to Starbucks on the left side of it on Main Street. So what is that?
Fifth and Main.
The south side of Main Street?
That would be the south side of Main Street and the...
East.
Right next to Starbucks.
Yeah. Right next to Starbucks.
I think everyone knows where Starbucks is in Edmonds, right?
Absolutely.
The staple of downtown Edmonds is Starbucks.
Don't tell Walnut that, though.
Yeah, that is true. I do prefer Walnut over Starbucks. But.
Don't tell Starbucks that.
I don't think we'll get the owner of Starbucks on here. So I don't have to worry about that, luckily. So how did you get started in the food industry?
Okay, so I went to culinary school back in Santa Clara, California, at this community college called Mission College. And I hadn't started culinary arts until I figured out that I couldn't pass Calculus 2 in my electrical engineering prerequisites at the community college level. And I said, you know, this is not really something I want to do. I went to an advisor, and she said, well, what do you like to do? And I said, well, I really like to cook, and I really like to play water polo, but I know I can't become an Olympian. And she said, well, why don't you go check out our sister college, Mission College, and at that time it was $11 a unit for one course. This was the time of Gray Davis in California. He was the governor before the governor came in.
Right
before the governor.
Yeah, and so education, California education, was really affordable, and I pretty much went through that 1.5 year culinary program and under less than $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. Do we define it as pre- and post-governator in California history now?
Yes, absolutely. This was before, this was shortly actually after 9/11.
Okay.
Before the whole, economic downfall.
Yeah.
This was, 2003, 2004-ish.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you did that, and then did you stay working down there, or?
I worked as I was going to school, and then I ended up moving up here to Seattle, my then girlfriend, now my wife, we both met in high school.
Congratulations.
And, moved along together, and I started working here as a bartender, because I couldn't afford to be a cook being paid $10 an hour. So
yeah, that's not easy.
Yeah.
Did you bartend in Edmonds or just in the greater Seattle?
At this restaurant called Piatti Restaurant.
Oh, U Village. Village.
Still there. I worked my way up. I started serving, and I worked my way back into the kitchen once I saved a bit of money and got comfortable with the city. And it all, you know, started, my culinary career really started from there. I had a really nice, really great mentor. His name was Chef Felix Acosta, and he taught me a lot.
That's awesome.
A lot of chefs jump around restaurant to restaurant. I was fortunate enough to learn a lot from this individual over the course of 7 years. And shortly after that, I helped Tim Morris open up Ipulo Bistro in downtown Edmonds.
Oh, okay.
I was the opening GM and then became chef shortly after. And then I decided to move on to opening Shubidu Catering and starting that.
Yeah,
that's right, because the catering came first, right?
Catering came first. Actually, the catering came when I was still working at Piatti, to be honest. And it was just one of those things where you would do a wedding on a weekend in your spare time and work
all that
7 days.
Time.
Yeah, work that 7 day a week two job thing. And after a few years, we went from 2 weddings a year to 10 weddings a year to 20 to 50. So once it got to that point, we were able to jump off on our own.
And I feel like now Shubidu is one of the most brought up catering companies. I mean, when people are like, oh, do you know a caterer? And, you know, like Facebook sites or, you know, just in general conversation, it seems like your guys' name comes up first almost every time.
Well, that's
so
nice to hear.
I mean... It's, you guys do a fabulous job, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seems like every time I ever hear of, like, an event, it's like, oh, Shubidu's going to be there doing it. I always feel like that. Every event we go to, it's always Shubidu, which is, it's great for you. I mean.
Yeah.
Great for us, because we know we're having a good meal.
You're guaranteed a good meal, right? So that's always nice.
I don't get to, you know, really hear that unless people offer that information usually, so that's great to hear.
Yeah, no, I feel like every event I go to seems like it's catered by you guys.
Awesome.
So, and then I remember when, like, even a couple, when you first started, and it was like, my dad was at some party. He goes, there's this great caterer, Shubidu. He does, it's so great. It's such a good deal. It's so good.
Oh,
and
awesome.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was, I think that was like right when you first started. And he was like, you should give him a call if you ever need anything. And you know, that was before we needed any catering options in our life.
You guys did cater our son's baptism, though.
Yeah, actually.
We just picked up trees.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, see, now you know.
And everyone loved it. And I think his Aunt Terry's niece used them for you guys for a wedding.
Recently.
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
Just after that. Yeah. So, it's, I mean, it's word of mouth, right, in Edmonds.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It
really is.
So what brought you to then Bar Dojo?
So at that time when we started Shubidu Catering, we were sharing a commissary in Lower Queen Anne. Uh-huh. And at the time it was called Cook Space. And it was a place where new entrepreneurs could just rent kitchen space for, you know, let's just say $25 an hour at the time. And that's really all we could afford. We couldn't build our own kitchen. We couldn't even lease a space for more than $100 a month, just because it wasn't consistent business. It wasn't busy enough for us to do so. So the painstaking job of packing all your stuff in the day that you have to prep for that event and then packing it out the same day, not being able to store anything at that location because you only rented 4-hour block instead of a monthly time slot where you are committed to paying that amount of money. That was really tough. And eventually, we got busy enough to be able to rent out 4 weeks at a time and store our stuff there. By that time, we started growing out of the space, and sharing space and time wasn't enough. We needed to be in the kitchen whenever we could at our own convenience, not at somebody else's schedule. And that's when I found Bar Dojo, the location. It used to be Five Spice Bistro.
I remember that. Yeah.
In Five Corners. And I was living at Five Corners at the time, and I said, hey, how awesome would it be just to walk 5 minutes to work? Not even 5 minutes. It was like 2 minutes.
That's the dream, right?
Yeah.
Walk to work.
Walk to work. And oddly enough, I never walked to work.
That seems to be the consistent story.
Yeah.
Kim said the same thing. She said, I just want to open a place in my hometown and be able to walk or bike to work.
But you never do.
No, and that's because I couldn't. I needed to drive places all the time and get groceries or whatever. So
yeah.
But luckily we got the space and we decided, okay, well, this can't just be a catering kitchen alone. We have to make money to pay for the rent somehow. And we decided to open the restaurant, which has always been a dream of mine, to open a brick and mortar restaurant. This was a dream of mine since I was like 5 or something like that, because I would always help my mom and my dad cook or help my grandma and learn special recipes. And the restaurant is kind of a tribute to my grandmother's famous braised beef noodle soup. She's passed away now, but I had an opportunity to cook it for her before she passed away, and she loved it, which was, you know.
That is a good soup.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've both had that, and it's one of our favorites. So.
Yeah, and that it started from that recipe, and the rest of the menu kind of blossomed from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have to say, though, your Sunday night tacos.
Yeah, that is a popular thing, isn't it?
That's probably our favorite thing, is tacos on Sundays.
Sunday night tacos.
Well, I think it's just, so my brother and I have this joke, if you had to eat one food for the rest of your life, what would you pick? And we both agree tacos, because it's a vessel for anything.
Yeah.
You can make a taco in so many different ways. It doesn't have to just be in a Latino way. It can be an Asian taco. It can be any kind of taco. And so I think you really honed in on the Asian tacos.
Taco is a very versatile thing.
Yeah.
To serve all types of cuisine.
And, it tastes so good, too. Yeah.
I mean, your whole menu is amazing. Your dumplings. I have friends that are like, we have to go there just to get the dumplings. And
that's great to hear.
I mean, there's, I could name, we could go through the whole menu.
And now I don't even do the day-to-day cooking anymore. Chef Luis Brambilas, who started out as a prep cook for me at Ipulo, and basically worked his way up through the kitchen and gained tons of experience. He's the chef now for me, and he really has honed in on what Asian fusion cuisine is.
Yeah, it's great.
Supposed to be, yeah. He's done a great job.
So you were open there for a couple of years, and then how did you decide to do? So obviously we know you wanted oysters and things like that, and so that was quite the. Was it hard opening up that second restaurant and transitioning into that, or?
It was. There's challenges to everything. So I'll give you a little bit of background on the businesses. I started Shibidu with my wife, Mira, and she helped support the whole front of the house at that time, and this was before kids and everything.
Yeah.
And by the time we had decided to open Bar Dojo, we had teamed up with her cousin, Andrew Leckie, and his wife, Sierra, and they partnered up with us in opening that brick and mortar because we didn't really have the finances ourselves to do so or the time and expertise. Andrew is our front of the house director of operations, basically, of the company, my business partner.
Okay.
And he handles all the front stuff. I handle mostly the culinary side. Andrew and I had thought about a space in downtown Edmonds, and we were always kind of looking and thinking, how awesome would it be to have something right on Main Street someday? Spaces don't come up very often. And I drive by, this is 2 years after we opened Bar Dojo. Usually people aren't opening restaurants only 2 years into their first.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And unless you're Ethan Stoll or Tom Douglas, where you guys are opening 2 or 3 in a year. But I had driven by what was the cupcake shop, and that they had just gone out of business, and there was a for lease sign. I'm like, wow, that would be a perfect spot. It's right on Main Street.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the address is 321 Main Street.
Really?
So how easy is that to remember?
Yeah.
Do we want to make another restaurant happen only 2 years into Bar Dojo? And we're not really even making money at Bar Dojo at that time. We're just pretty much starting out. And I said, well, let me just talk to the broker and see how much they're asking and see if it'll work out. And it turns out the space was built out for a food service operation already. So it had a grease trap, it had sinks, it had a lot of the infrastructure we needed for a restaurant. And so the build out wasn't going to be too enormous. The rent was right. And I said, well, we better go big or go home, I guess. Let's just see what we get. And the partners all decided that it was a good idea to open up this type of a concept, a steak and oyster house. Seeing how, oyster houses were doing in Ballard, Rene Erickson Places and Ballard Annex, they were doing really great. And a lot of the Edmonds folk were driving down to Ballard to get the oysters. I said, why not keep it in Edmonds and give them an amenity and easy access to that cuisine? And that's really what happened.
Yeah. And it seems like people were super excited. And then you took over Bill the Butcher's
spot. Yeah, that was unexpected, and, though. Bill the Butcher had basically gone out of business 3 months after we had opened up. And we walked up during the construction phase and saw a sign on their door. It says, out of chicken, beef, lamb, and pork. Sorry, we're closed today. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. How can you just be out of every type
of meat? The butcher's out of everything.
And that's when, everything flew off the wall and they closed down because of, what was it, embezzlement?
Yeah, I think they were putting it all into their house or something. Yeah. She was like, they were funneling the money and building this huge mansion as all the, like, the shops went under.
Yeah. So, you know, like someone else's trash is someone else's treasure. So we took the trash and turned it into treasure. And we were given the opportunity on the space first just because it was adjacent. And it was that corner suite. And the landlord had said, hey, are you guys interested in expanding? I'm like, we haven't even opened yet. How are we going to expand?
Yeah.
And I thought about it more. I'm like, wow, this will be double the space than we had planned originally on our business plan. Can we make this happen? And that was very unknown at the time because we hadn't seen what kind of business we could do. Mm-hmm. And again, I said, go big or go home, right? And we took over the space and decided to phase that in 6 months after we had opened.
Yeah.
Just so that we could build some cash and build out, finish building out that space. And, you know, luckily for us, and a lot of operating a restaurant has to do with luck, I would say, is that we were busy from the first day we were open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of hype, and I think people were really excited that you guys were, like you said, bringing something that Edmunds was missing to.
Yeah, because you know, you've never had, like, even with having, like, Anthony's and Arnie's and, you know, places along the water, there's never been a place, like you said, that has, like, fresh oysters, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, we live in this place that all the oysters, you know, so many oysters come from, and all this fresh food and beef, and people don't serve it. And you definitely filled that void. And I think the city showed you pretty quickly that they wanted it.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate and thankful that everybody's, you know, dines there and loves the food. And we're always aiming to be better. You know, we're not perfect by any means, but always also trying to move the times and people's tastes. And you know, the menu has gone over several different times already in the 2 years that we've been open, and it's not anything like the first one we put out.
Yeah. Are you going to try to keep it kind of constantly evolving then, too, a little bit?
And yeah. We so at all the restaurants, Bar Dojo and Salt and Iron, we change the menu about every quarter.
Okay.
And according to every season and what's available, and with the exception of just beef or steaks and oysters being a constant on Salt and Iron's menu, we do a lot of other types of seafoods and land foods and definitely different produce.
Yeah.
There's a bounty of produce here in the Northwest as well.
Yeah, no, it works out pretty well, I think. Okay. I mean,
I know I really appreciate that you guys rotate your menu because as much as we love Edmunds, and when we dine out in Edmunds, it's like you have your favorite places, and it's nice to go in and get a fresh dish, and it's almost like going to a new restaurant. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, when especially we're parents with young kids, so our date nights are few and far between, and when we do get out, it's really nice to go in and see a new dish that you haven't tried, and we appreciate food a lot, and just.
Speaking of kids, we tried to aim to be kid friendly and family friendly just because Edmunds is full of families, young ones at that. And both Andrew and I have daughters between 3 and 6 years old, two daughters each. And, and so we knew we had to at least accommodate our families first and then, you know, translate that into the rest of the community.
Yeah.
I would never suggest opening restaurants while you have kids.
Well, it's hard enough. Like, you know, we're in real estate. And it's like, it's just hard to juggle all those things. And I can't imagine with, like, your schedule. I mean, the restaurant is such a
constant.
It's a beast. Yeah. It's a beast. But luckily, we have really great people working for us. And we're very fortunate and lucky to be able to retain all these great managers that can take care of issues without us having to intervene.
Yeah.
And so I don't have too many sleepless nights anymore like I used to when I first started out. Yeah. Mainly also because the kids sleep through the night.
Yeah, that isn't...
It's a blessing.
Yeah. That's like the best thing ever. Like our daughter, she's 4 months old, and we just started like putting her in her crib and like out of the room. Mm-hmm. And like after having like a year of having our son not, you know, sleep in our room and sleep through the night, it's like, oh, this is so nice to have this again, like to just be quiet in our room.
Oh. Yeah, you think you're going to remember what it's like with from going from the first to the second, like, oh, I went through this once, it's going to come right back to me, and then you're like, why is this my life? Like, why did I do this?
You always question it a little bit, don't you?
Yeah.
So then getting back, so now Salt and Iron's been open a few years now.
Yeah. 2+ years, yeah.
Yeah, and
you're sticking to that 2 years. Yeah, every 2 years you open something.
No, right? It's not on purpose either. Bar Dojo is coming up on their 5th year anniversary this coming month, and we're going to have a celebration in January.
Awesome.
So we'll keep your ears.
I was going to say, well, maybe we can make it.
Yeah.
And the catering's been around for now over 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean, commendable to have so many businesses successfully stay open and just keep adding. I mean, I feel like you're going to be the next Tom Douglas, Ethan Stoll of the North End, maybe.
Well, that's a great compliment.
I mean, not many restaurants open so many and in different ways, which is kind of what their path has been also, right? Like they have a variety of restaurants and kind of everything changes a little bit or completely different. And it feels like you're kind of, while sticking to the Northwest roots and themes and staying true to this region.
Well, I kind of see it as, you know, I don't just cook one type of cuisine. There's many different types that I like to cook, and this is just kind of realizing that artistic dream of the different types of, because you can serve everything at Dojo at the same restaurant as you would be serving at Salt and Iron, and it's just nice to be able to have outlets to do so. And as a business standpoint, it's kind of like diversifying your portfolio a little bit, not putting all your eggs into one basket, one type of cuisine or one type of restaurant.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the nice thing is people always have to eat too, right? And people love to eat good food.
Yeah.
And if you keep good food going, and it seems like a lot of places kind of just like box themselves into, we only serve this and nothing else. And now, I mean, you're just kind of, you're hitting everything, right?
So trying to, I guess, yeah. I don't know if it's a good or bad idea.
Well, I also think we kind of had a conversation a couple weeks ago when we were talking about who we were going to decide to interview and who we wanted to reach out to first. And it seems like Edmunds, I mean, definitely over the last 5 to 10 years, Edmunds has gone through kind of a facelift, so to say, and businesses and exterior building or the infrastructure of buildings has changed some in some areas, like buildings being torn down and rebuilt. But I feel like you could almost mark on a map that, like, somewhere around that time when you opened between Bar Dojo and Salt and Iron, it's like Edmunds kind of got put on the map for food a little bit. And, like, now it's bringing more people to Edmunds, and things are changing for the better, in my opinion. And we talked with Kim and Brian. We call it the Edmunds bubble, like reasons we don't leave Edmunds we don't have to a lot of times.
Traffic, too.
Traffic, parking.
It's all about the traffic.
Weather. I mean, if you can drive 5 minutes and be back, you know, if something goes south with the kids or forever, whatever reason. But I think that you're kind of to blame for this.
Well I don't disagree. When we had first started construction at Salt and Iron, we could find a parking space, no problem, on 5th and Main, you know, and 4th and Main. And now you can't find any parking spaces.
No, it's just
you have
like...
to drive a block or 2 blocks out, and, you know, that's a lot for Edmunds.
Yeah.
Kim made the same joke. Yeah. She goes,
we're not used
for
to
us, we have to walk 2 blocks to our destination.
Which makes it even less of a desire to drive down to Seattle anymore.
Yeah.
You know, forget about parking on the street or paying under $20 for parking in that garage.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're still fortunate that parking is free here. And, you know, the city of Edmunds really has the best interest in development for the economy, I feel like. They know kind of the things to avoid, learning from big cities like Seattle, and also the things to progress in, being a small seaside community.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
They've definitely done the research.
And it's changed so much even. So I grew up here. My whole entire life I've lived in Edmonds, right? Besides like my few years I was in the military. And it's amazing to see how much Edmonds has changed and progressed into more of this seaside community with restaurants and like shops, as opposed to just like even 10 years ago, I feel like it was just, you know, it was like a lot of like boutiques, shops that didn't have any business, and just like 100 art galleries that not a lot of people went into. And then now it's like we have the perfect mix of everything, right? There's lots of food and
a lot of
shops,
art,
so still a lot of art, but now there's more reason to go to the arts because they, you know, they have art walks and wine walks and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they've really developed that, the whole art culture and the art scene here, along with the food businesses.
Yeah,
for art walks, and it's really cool. I grew up visiting downtown Saratoga a lot, and that's South Bay of the Bay Area in California. And Edmonds really reminds me of that little town, but by the ocean, not by the foothills.
Yeah.
And so it's, and that by that time when we were growing up in downtown Saratoga, it had already been more developed and highly trafficked. So I can see Edmonds still heading that way. Down there, each house is well over $1.5 to $2 million. You know, it's hard to buy a house there now.
If you're
just the average person. Edmonds seems to be heading in that direction. Hopefully, housing prices aren't going in the same direction necessarily. But I think the vibe, the development of that small downtown feel.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And so your next project then? When's that going to be open? How big is it going to be?
Yes, so it is. It's pretty tiny, actually, 980 square feet, and that includes a storage loft above.
Oh, wow.
So really, I think it's just 900 square feet on the base floor. It is hopefully going to open the first quarter of next year, March or April, and the concept is a fresh fish market, a fishmonger, that also serves a couple of items like fish tacos. We might serve some fish and chips. Our fresh chowder, the one that we make at Salt and Iron, that's
so good.
Award-winning.
Yeah.
Award-winning chowder, yeah.
You see, the Edmonds Chamber of Commerce chowder contest, we've won twice in a year now for best chowder. And maybe some sashimi platters, you know, anything that has to do with seafood, we're going to try to target. And it's going to be quick service for all the food. You're going to take it away, maybe sit on the sidewalk patio or take it to the beach. You'll be able to buy some beer and wine eventually and take that home. It's just a nice stop after you get off work or on a Saturday morning during the farmer's market if you're walking around and you want to get something really good to eat.
And that's, you know, too. And so, I mean, so you're going to have so I can come buy like a fresh fish and bring it home and cook that.
Yeah. Right?
So, and that's like something Edmonds has been without forever too. I mean, ever since the only other place that you could do that really was like to buy like truly fresh fish or, you know, it was like the bait tackle store down on the waterfront, and then that's gone now, right? And
right.
There's just no place
gone.
Besides going up to QFC, and which is great, but it's like, you know.
And PCC has a great seafood department as well. But, you know, we're not trying to necessarily take business away from them. We're trying to target different types of seafood and provide an amenity. Where can you get a fresh fish taco anywhere in Edmonds?
That's why I'm very excited. I kind of made a motion to Schubert when he announced fish tacos, because that might be my favorite food on the entire earth.
we're kind of fish taco connoisseurs, I guess you could say.
I think every seaside or beach town community needs a fish taco place.
Yeah,
totally.
Don't you think? Yeah,
I absolutely agree.
A quick takeout, and not like in a sit down restaurant, like you said, like something you can just take and go eat on the sidewalk, or like if you're working, just go in and grab fish taco and go back to your, you know, office or whatever.
Yeah,
no, that's, I think that's gonna be a hit.
And the key to our businesses is high quality food. And so we don't want to just be another fast food takeaway joint. We're gonna send you with really high quality fish tacos, not some old old frozen cut fish. It's gonna be straight from our fishmonger deli counter, and we're gonna cut it. We're gonna either grill it, saute it, fry it, however you like it. We'll also be able to cook your fish for you. So let's just say you buy a pound of salmon and you want it cooked ready to go. We'll be able to sear it up or give it a quick fry or steam it for you.
So someone has no idea what they're doing, but they want to buy fresh fish and take it home.
Take it home ready to eat.
You'll take care of it.
For a dinner party or something, or friends and or their family. Wow. That's really ingenious.
The person that's running that store will be a trained chef. That's the idea, is that we're kind of a chef-driven company, which really emphasizes quality of food and service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I think the one thing we haven't touched on is why Edmonds.
Yeah, how did you land here? Besides Ipulo, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But.
So I moved to Seattle because my wife was going to University of Washington at the time, and she has family here in Edmonds. And we were living in Seattle at the time and decided to start looking for houses to buy, and we couldn't afford what was in Seattle. That was the beginning of the market going up. And so actually, it was the height of the last market before it crashed. That's what it was. And so we couldn't afford a house up there. Instead, we could buy a condo here in Edmonds. And we found something that was perfect with an open floor plan right in Five Corners and decided to move here. And like I said, my wife had family here. And so it was close to everybody we knew, and it was comfortable. And I kind of liked the little downtown core back then. It was a little sleepy, and I had always been saying to myself, boy, it would be really cool if someone had opened an oyster house or like an Asian restaurant. It turns out I was the one to do it.
You were the one to do both of them.
You're like, well, if no one else will, guess I got to throw my hat in.
Exactly. And that's how we chose Edmonds. Yeah.
Okay.
And I've since just fallen in love, don't want to leave.
Yeah.
We feel the same way. I mean, we've traveled quite a bit, and we love other places, but then at some point during your vacation, you're like, it's just not Edmonds. We got to go back. Yeah. You know, you kind of have those fantasy dreams like, oh, maybe I'll move to Mexico or, you know, New York.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. This time of year, it starts getting to be a better
really
idea.
It's right now.
But yeah, Edmonds has a quaint charm to it that it's hard to find. And just the friendliness of people and willingness. We kind of touched on with last week's, not to keep bringing it up because this is our second interview, but just how much other businesses support each other in this community and kind of all get together for events. And just it's a very kind of family feel community where even though you're not family, it feels that way with other businesses and helping each other out.
Yeah.
Have you found that to be the experience with?
Absolutely. All the downtown merchants and the Edmonds merchants outside of downtown are, we really coexist well. And there's the Edmonds Downtown Alliance and also the Downtown Edmonds Merchants Association. They all meet regularly and talk about economic development and how things are going and what each of the business needs from the other. It's kind of nice that there's that open dialogue.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, families, I haven't seen so many strollers in my life until now here.
Well, I think we're in a baby boom.
Yeah, we are.
It's crazy. So, it really is. It's like, you know, like I said, when I grew up here, it was like, and we've said this like so many times in all of our interviews, so it's like, it was Deadman's, you know, it was always, and her dad, even he was like, when he lived here, he was like, oh, it was Deadman's, you know, like in the 70s. And
yeah, apparently where Fertile was, they called it like the pits or something. And that's where people went to, it was undeveloped forest. And like, that's where everyone went to drink and party in high school.
All these crazy things, right? And it was like, just like this town.
Evolution.
It's changed so much. And it's just,
when you hear the older generation of Edmonds that have been here for a while start complaining about all bumping into all the strollers on the street, you know, things have really changed.
Absolutely.
And you know, now we have that sidewalk patio right outside of Salt and Iron, and every time that stanchion gets an inch out of place, there's someone with a stroller or some guy walking down the street saying, I can't fit through that sidewalk. It's too narrow.
Someone's always complaining about something, right?
Right.
That's like, I was like telling the other day, I'm like, we just need to get rid of these. We need to like go to like the Vegas style. It's okay that you have something outside of that.
Yes.
I'm like, just open it all up.
San Francisco, they don't require stanchions, and you can just have open dining on the sidewalk as long as you don't encroach on the on the other part of the walkable sidewalk, but the stanchions really take up more space than necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, is there any hope from being removed? Or
I don't know. I can always ask the mayor.
We should interview him.
Yeah.
We've got hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Will the stanchions be removed?
If someone, I mean, and part of it is from the liquor board, they like to keep a stanchion there to segregate the alcohol drinking areas without, but what's stopping from someone hopping over the stanchion anyways?
Yeah.
I guess we are as restaurateurs, but
yeah,
still, it's just air.
I know.
It's just no invisible force.
The funny things, you know, like if you ever go, like you travel around the world, right? And it's like, it just doesn't matter. Like everyone, like when you're like in Paris or
Italy,
you know, it's like, you're just, everyone's just out there drinking, eating. Yeah. No one cares.
I think it's when it becomes less of a, or I guess, which not dangerous, but taboo. When it's not taboo to like cross the line, right? Because it's some drunk guy or woman that's sitting there on a Saturday that's maybe like overindulged a little during dinner and then decides I'm going to hop over the fence, right? And then that's what makes that rule stand still, right?
Yeah.
So once it's not taboo and there isn't that invisible force field, that's, you know.
This is my goal. My goal is to get rid of the stanchions.
Yes,
today.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to start.
I'm on your team now.
I'm going to start GoFundMe and
It's not even a GoFundMe. It's just like an initiative.
It doesn't matter. We just got to start everything and get everyone to sign it and to take the stanchions away.
Trust your local.
How awesome
restaurant
would it be if Fourth and Main was a piazza as well?
That would be pretty cool.
Oh.
Every time I, now like with those lights that they put out there, you know, on Fourth Avenue, it's like I just want to walk down the middle of the road
when
it's dark.
That's so cool.
I feel like someday it's going to have to, like, I'm sure we will turn into more walking community and like close off
that
a part. Because it's like you almost don't, you know, I feel like the going around that circle is more hassle than it's worth practically, right? It's just
There is some economic development stuff that they've talked about in the past about turning parts of Edmonds into a walkable community and area.
Yeah.
And so it has been talked about many times. It just depends on whether or not people are ready for it.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to get people to...
Maybe another 10 years.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think as more, I want to say youth comes in, but, you know, as part of our community is taken over by younger crowd, I think the youth is a little bit more into walking. I mean, I know it doesn't... I think if you live in Washington in general, you're not afraid to walk in the rain, right? I mean, we're a community of non-umbrella users, and, you know, your kids still go outside when it rains. You know, you can't let the weather change your day. So I think it'll...
Otherwise, we'd be inside for like 8 months.
Stuck inside. Yeah.
Just
we'd just be nonstop working, basically.
FaceTime your friends.
Yeah.
Nice to see you again.
Cool.
So we like to ask everybody... You being the second. do you have any funny, like, opening stories or, like, funny admin stories that just, while being a small business owner, that you've come into?
Oh, yeah, I do. And if you ask anybody to, if you ask anybody about Yelp reviews.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of fun with those sometimes, and, you know, I have to take them with a grain of salt, and sometimes not take them too seriously, because, boy, when somebody's complaining because it's truly our fault or they didn't like something, I understand that, and most of the Yelp reviews out there are met with, you know, a high standard of service. We want to make sure they had a good opportunity to dine with us properly, but... There are people that, let's take, for example, somebody who wrote us a Yelp review on the Salt and Iron site, and it said, the food was great, the service was wonderful, but there was only one bathroom, and if I had to wait in line, I would be so upset. No. 3-star.
If I had to, everything was great.
I don't know. It's a 2 or 3-star, and I'm like,
seriously? Like, so you didn't even run into that problem?
No.
But
and we have 2 bathrooms. We don't just have 1 bathroom. They just had to look around a little bit or ask somebody, and maybe the signs were not obvious enough that there was a second bathroom. But still,
it's so that's like a constant struggle. I feel like Yelp is there just for bad reviews, you know? And it seems like Yelp like makes you like pay to get the good reviews up top, right? It seems like that's always the issue.
Through our experiences, that's not necessarily true. Which, okay. You know, I don't know, maybe that was a practice of the past, but they've never asked us to pay for better reviews, which, you know, is reassuring to us as a business yeah. owner. But the filtering process is questionable.
Yeah, that's what.
The fact that you can't review reviewers necessarily based on their behavior is also, you know, it would be nice if that was an acceptable cultural thing.
Well, and right, it's a little nerve-wracking too, yeah. I feel like, because, you know, like, so like our company, we have, to every client we ever do something, we like send out a review mm-hmm. and it goes on our page and it's like a non-filtered, we don't have any control over it, it just goes out, right?
Right.
To every deal we do, we have our, like, it goes out, and it's like, I hope, you know, because it could, you never know what it could be. It could be something right. they never told you about that you had no idea. You know, if someone doesn't bring it up, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's nerve wracking. You just don't know what's going to happen. And then you have it there and you're like, well, you know.
And I understand, you know, not everybody wants to approach the server or manager while they're dining there because they might be embarrassed or afraid to say something.
And yeah.
We get that. I would just tell diners, if they're listening to this, to just ask. We're there to serve you and to make your experience great. But if you're going to be passive aggressive about it, I can't help you there.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a running dialogue with my sister that everyone needs to work in food service for like at least a year of their life. Or I guess any customer service, but I feel like food service in particular, you, every time that something isn't maybe going 100% right, you just have a different lens on yeah. the situation. You're like, it's definitely like something's going on, something bigger is happening. Like it's, or the way you approach the server about situation is a little bit differently than somebody mm-hmm. that hasn't worked in food service. With that being said, I think when you, that I've worked and I've served tables for quite a few years, and I think it's once, what people don't realize is when, once you bring it up, 99% of the time they're going to be accommodating and really sorry about the situation and kind of do whatever they can to fix it, so...
Yeah,
I mean, I wish more people would, but in a polite way.
I have a next. I have a segment for you. Once you've gone through some of the business owners and interviewed them, you should bring us all back and say, and have us have a segment that says, "Restaurateurs reading Yelp reviews about the restaurant."
Oh my god!
This is genius.
Sold.
I mean, it's been done elsewhere already, but not in Edmonds.
Not in Edmonds. So, I feel like there's some good ones too.
There are. I can give you many good ones. I have snapshots and replies, and you know,
that would be a perfect thing. We are going to do that.
That's great content.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Maybe that will be like our next year, our anniversary. We'll bring everyone back and like, or we'll go. We'll
no,
come to
maybe
you
like every 10 episodes. We'll see like we'll who's got a new ones.
There you go.
We'll record a Yelp review.
Yeah. And you have chefs like Anthony Bourdain speaking out about Yelp reviewers and the elite Yelp reviewers and how...
Yeah, it's like a thing.
Yeah, they're not necessarily great for business.
Yeah.
So...
Well, luckily, you know, I think most people were like... At this point when I just go on like anything, like if it's a bad review, I'm just like, it's probably not valid. That's my ultimate like... I'm like, if every review's on there is bad, then maybe I have something to like worry about. But if there's like... Because I feel like anything, right?
One
even
out
like,
of a 50
even you're
or
buying something.
Something
on Amazon, right? There's always like that person that's like, this is the worst thing I've ever had right. in my life.
Yeah.
This thing broke in 5 seconds, you know? It's like, but everyone else is like, this is the best thing I've ever had. So it's like, you just got to like, well, that's just a one-off, throw yeah. it away.
And so. When you need some reading material at night, just go through some reading material. It'll make you laugh, I tell you what.
I'm sure. Well, cool. Anything else?
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah,
or where can people
find you? What do you
have coming
up? Do you got Restaurant Week stuff coming up? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know you do.
You know, we're coming up on the Christmas season, so come on in and check out our fresh sheet and specials. We've just changed the menu at both locations, and there's some new exciting stuff. I would say Salt and Iron will be closed for the first week of January. We're going to do some remodeling, and so Bar Dojo will be open and full, and come visit us there instead while we're doing some work.
Nice.
Pescadero, hopefully our name. It's been trademarked, so we're still trying to figure it
out. Oh, no.
And Pescadero means fishmonger in Spanish.
Oh.
But the fishmonger store is going to be open in March or April of next year.
Cool.
And that's the next thing we're focusing on.
Come down and get some fresh fish and tacos and...
Really excited about that.
Yeah. Me too. I only work across the street now, so I'll just be like lunch every day over there. Yeah. I'm probably going to be your best clientele. Just hop on in.
So make this guy again.
I know, right?
Okay, well, everyone, thanks for listening. And if you need anything, what's your website that they can go to? You're on Facebook, Instagram?
We're on Facebook. You just have to search for us on Instagram. ShubiDooCatering.com, salt, the letter N, iron.com, bardojo.com, and possibly PescaderoEdmonds.com.
Okay.
Still in the works.
Well, if you want good food, go to any one of these restaurants and have an amazing meal. It's totally worth it.
Thanks.
And get some tacos on Sundays at Bar Dojo. I can't say that enough. Well, I shouldn't say that because I want to get tacos. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of screwing myself over here because I can't go get tacos and not have to wait for a line. But
okay. Well, you're going to keep us open for a little
while. I'll keep you open for a little. Until you keep, you know what, so 2 more years, you're going to have to expand again now. You're kind of setting a trend here.
I guess so. At least I'm not having a baby this time.
Yeah,
there you go.
Oh.
God bless you. Yeah. for going through that well. Yeah. I mean, we have small children.
You're a stronger man than I am.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. I'm Eric.
This is Jamie.
And we're Small Town Talk.
Goodbye.